world. Welcome to the first episode of Silver Hills Podcast. In this week's episode, we will be discussing and exploring the Halloween survey, the coolest shoes coming out in October, and even like fantasy football, y'all.
For the Silver Hills students and staff new to this show, my name is LJ and my guests are Lexi and Deacon.
Thank you so much, LJ, for the introduction. I'm so excited to educate our Silver Hills community about October's topics.
So it looks like the Halloween quiz results are back.
You mean that quiz we took earlier in the year?
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Hey, LJ and Deacon, what are you dressing up for Halloween?
I'm dressing up as an alien abducting myself.
I'm dressing up as Michael Myers.
Well, apparently, 18.8% of Silver Hills community are dressing up as something from a recent movie or TV show.
And a surprising 16.7% of the Silver Hills community aren't even dressing up for Halloween.
Wow, and only 5.9% are dressing up as something from pop culture.
Wow, look at...
Wow, 31.6% of the Silver Hills community said yes, and 35.9% of the Silver Hills community said maybe they will dress up their pet for Halloween. Now let's talk about the good stuff. Candy! Who's going trick-or-treating this year?
Looks like a 49.8% of the Silver Hills community is trick-or-treating this year.
That's up from Halloween 2020 during COVID. Ugh, that was a disappointing Halloween and year.
I know, right?
A surprising 11.2% of the Silver Hills community isn't doing anything.
Oh, wow, that's surprising.
Looking at question four, 25.9% of Silver Hills community thinks there's not enough plus-size costumes.
And 26.4% of the Silver Hills community said there are enough plus-size costumes.
Wow, and a surprising 47.6% said maybe. I guess that's something to keep on the radar for next year.
Hey, LJ and Deacon, what's your favorite candy?
My favorite candy is Twix.
My favorite Reese's Pieces.
Well, looking at the Halloween candy question, somebody just said candy.
Well, I wonder who did that. I guess that means they have a real sweet tooth.
Moving on to the next question, what is your favorite scary movie?
Well, 13.9% said the movie, and 9.3% said Halloween movies.
Shockingly, 36.9% that their favorite movie wasn't listed.
How? Miss Hughes listed the biggest hits such as Shining, Saw, Friday the 13th, and The Exorcist, and The Nightmare on Elm Street.
True, but these kids most likely aren't the biggest fan of movies that still give adults nightmares. Ugh, boomers.
Alright, I forgot.
And some of the Silver Hills community, like the Goosebumps movies, are a mix.
How are they a mix?
Well, they star Jack Black, so they are in lighthearted moments and scary moments.
What are your opinions on the age you should stop dressing up?
I think you should never stop dressing up.
I think I agree with OJ.
Well, 17.3% of Silver Hills community said at the age of 13.
Oh, look, 74.1% that there is no age limit. I agree.
That was our section on the top Halloween. That was our section on the Halloween quizzes. Now we're taking a deep dive into the top 8 coolest shoes coming out this month.
I'm so excited about the new Black Light and Steel Jordans 4s coming out on October 5th.
Although they cost a whopping $210.
I don't know. Okay. I guess that's up to the buyer to decide.
What about the Nike Dunk Low TSU Tiger shoes?
Oh, you mean the ones that came out on October 7th?
Oh yeah, I'm excited about
them. It's like leading the AFC playoff scene is the Buffalo Bills with a 5-1 win-loss ratio. 5 wins, 1 loss. I bet Mr. Brunez and Mrs. Clayback are happy about that.
And leading the NFC playoff scene is the so far undefeated Philadelphia Eagles.
The Broncos are standing on a 2-5 win-loss ratio.
Looks like the Seattle Seahawks, whom the Broncos took Russell Wilson from, are at a nice 4-3 win-loss ratio.
At the bottom of the leaderboard, we have the Lions with a 1-5 win-loss ratio.
Alexi, Lexi and Deacon, what are your favorite football teams?
The Broncos.
The 49ers.
Well, Deacon, the Broncos have a 2-5 win-loss ratio, and Lexi, the 49ers, have a 3-4 win-loss ratio.
Leading the quarterback leaderboard is Josh Allen.
So, welcome everyone to our podcast club. I'm here with Ms. Foster. Say hello.
Hi. Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me today, podcast club, OCL.
Thank you. So, I have some questions about cross country. So, the first question is, why did you become a cross country coach?
Oh, thanks for asking. Well, I became a cross-country coach because I myself am a cross-country runner, and I've been running since I was the same age as everyone who's in cross-country now. I actually started running when I was a kid, and then I ran cross-country in high school and in college, and I still run really long-distance trail races now. So it's one of my favorite hobbies and my greatest passions, so I wanted to teach kids about it so that we have more and more runners in the world.
Wow, that's a great story. So the second question is, what other hobbies are you interested in?
Oh, I'm also interested in, well, to be honest, since I do a lot of running, to be honest, when I'm not running, I like to lay around a lot. So I like to watch TV, I like to read, I really like to hang out with my friends, but anything I like to do it in nature. So that's my favorite place to be, is outside.
Okay. So the third question is, what is the hardest part of being a cross-country coach?
The hardest part of being a coach is when kids come to practices and they're feeling lazy that day. So a lot of times kids show up and they say, oh, my legs hurt today, or I don't want to run. And I think to myself, what? You don't want to run? That's what cross country is all about. It's hard for me because I like running so much. So when kids are making excuses not to run, it gets frustrating for me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it might be hard to be cross-country student sometimes. So the fourth question is, what are some successful things you and your team have done this season?
Oh, wow, that's a great question, and thanks for asking that, because it gives me a chance to really brag about the team, because our team of runners, which is about 60 kids, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, every single person out there, every time we run a race, they run 2 miles. And that's a long distance for some people who are just starting running for the first time. And so every person on the team has improved their time from the start of the season to our last meet that's coming up. Everyone has a goal to improve their time and run even faster. And so I'm just really, really proud of everyone for putting in so much effort, even when they do get tired, even when they are having aches and pains, they keep it up, and they've remained strong all season and dedicated. So I just am really, really proud of our team.
Okay. So the fifth question is, what kind of preparations do students need to do in order to be in cross country?
Well, they need to have just a basic motivation and willingness to try as hard as they can at practice. It does help kids to prepare by doing some running before they join cross country. So even if they can run a couple of laps around the track, or if they like to do some walking and running, alternating. That's also really helpful. So I would say, though, that the most important preparation is preparing your mind and just knowing that you can do it. And that can take you a really long way in cross country.
Okay, so you heard Ms. Foster. Those are the preparations in order to be in cross country. So, yeah, and the final question is, what advice would you give someone that wants to join cross country next year?
Oh, I would say do it no matter what. Even if you have the slight hesitation, cross country is one of those sports that anyone can do. You can spend time with your friends while you're doing it. So if you like walking and running and talking with friends, then cross country is the sport for you because you have a lot of time to do that. And I would just encourage anyone. There were all levels of abilities this year and all grade levels. And I would say that everyone learned something from it and everyone got a sense of pride after they had run a race. And so I encourage everyone to give cross country a try next year. We'd love to have you.
Okay.
What about you, OCL? Are you going to come out for cross country next year?
I really don't know. I'm not that good of a runner, so I don't know.
All right. Podcast listeners, I just put OCL on the spot. He did not know I was going to ask that, so I'm going to let him finish up the podcast.
So we
now
look like we swapped interviews. Yeah. Okay, so everyone, thank you for listening to our podcast. Say goodbye, Ms. Foster, to all those cross-country runners.
All right, Silver Hills Cross Country, I'm so proud of you. I can't wait to see what you do tomorrow. You'll be hearing this afterwards, but tomorrow's our final meet, and so I'm wishing everybody luck in that. And to all of our future cross-country runners at Silver Hills, maybe even OCL, I can't wait to meet you. I really hope you consider coming out for it next year.
Okay, thank you, everyone. I hope you have a great day.
Who's ready for some Halloween trivia?
Oh, me.
Hi, OCL. Welcome, Silver Hills community. This is Mrs. Hughes, and I'm here with OCL, and we're going to do some Halloween trivia for you before the big day. So, OCL, where is the world's longest haunted house?
I think I remember it. Oh, yes. The Haunted Cave in Lewisburg, Ohio is a whopping 3,564 feet long and located 80 feet underground.
Man, that would be amazing to be able to go there.
Why is it so deep?
Well, it's a cave. Caves are underground. Well, let's talk about films. Here's a question. Let's see if you can answer. Which film in the Paranormal Activity franchise was the most commercially successful?
Ooh, I know this one. Paranormal Activity 3.
All right. What is the only other holiday that surpasses Halloween in annual consumer sales?
I think Christmas actually takes the cake.
That doesn't surprise me. People love to spend money around Christmas time. All right, here's one that might get you. What was the original title for Disney's Hocus Pocus?
Oh, I watched that yesterday, and I just found out that Hocus Pocus was initially called Halloween House, and it was more horror than comedy.
Well, I'm glad that they moved more towards comedy, because I love that movie. When was Trick or Treat for UNICEF founded?
Oh, yes, 1950.
Man, that seems like a long time ago. I think that was even before I was born.
Wow, you're old.
Yeah, I know. All right, here's another question for you. What was candy corn originally called?
This one is a disgusting one. It was actually called chicken feet, but they changed it.
Okay. Well, thank goodness. Nobody wants to eat chicken feed. So why did people start dressing up in Halloween costumes anyway?
Ooh, I heard this in social studies. Many Europeans, including the Celtics, dressed in costumes to repel spirits that they believe came back to Earth and what we know now as Halloween.
All right, good for you. What medieval English tradition inspired trick-or-treating?
On All Souls' Day, the poor would go souling, knocking on doors, offering prayers for residents, deceased loved ones in exchange for food.
I wish I got food when I went trick-or-treating. That's a better idea than candy, but most wouldn't agree.
Well, I don't want a ghost knocking on my door.
Here's a really strange question. Let's see if you can get it. What did Scottish women hang up that they thought they would be able to see their future husbands on Halloween?
Again with the husband thing. Wet sheets in front of a fire.
What? Wet sheets in front of a fire? I don't know how they thought that was going to show them who their future husbands were. Sounds like nonsense.
Sounds like some stupid witchcraft or something like that.
All right, let's talk about the First Lady. Who was the First Lady of the United States to decorate the White House for Halloween?
I heard this name. It's Mammy Eisenhower. Mammy Eisenhower in 1958.
Mammy Eisenhower in 1958. Man, all these traditions seem to have started right around the 1950s. What famous magician died on Halloween?
Ooh, this one is ominous, mysterious, and I heard it a lot. And his name was Harry Houdini.
Houdini. I've heard about him before. Why do you think some people wear clothes inside out on Halloween?
Some superstitions state that if you wear your clothes inside out and walk backwards on Halloween, you'll see a witch on midnight.
Well, I don't want to see a witch at midnight or any other time of the day. So why did some women throw apples behind them on Halloween?
Because they believe it would land in the shape of the first letter of their future husband. Blah, 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 blah.
Man, all these women want to do is figure out who their future husbands were going to be. Taylor Swift would not be happy about this. Have you listened to her new album?
No, I don't listen to her that much. I prefer Coldplay.
Oh, well, she talks a lot about the 1950s idea of marriage. I guess that's not really relevant here. So, last question. When is Halloween thought to have originated?
Ooh, I heard this a lot in social studies. It's very rare for me to hear it, but it is actually 4000 BC.
That long ago?
Yup.
Wow. Well, thanks, OCL. I hope everybody enjoyed our Halloween trivia. All right, Silver Hills community. The last segment here is going to be Hughes's Music Corner. And in the month of October, I am going to be reviewing Taylor Swift's 10th album, Midnights. In Taylor Swift's 10th album, she reveals a simpler fantasy. No, not to get married. It's the desire to be truly free. And that has a lot of meaning for Taylor if you are a T. Swift fan and you know how hard she's fought to get the rights to her own music. So, of course, I love every T-Swift album, but I had to go online and see what the critics were saying about the album. So I checked out Vultures.com, and according to Craig Jenkins, Midnights is a concept album that takes a peek into the life of the singer-songwriter on a number of eventful evenings in her development as an artist and as a significant other to the men in her past and present. So that's a little synopsis there. But I love this album for a couple of reasons. Number one, it does jump through time, so it gives a lot of snapshots into Taylor from different parts of her life. For example, one of my favorite tracks on the album is You're On Your Own, Kid, and that is observing a crushing moment in Taylor's adolescence, which I think everybody in middle school can relate to. My second favorite song is Midnight Rain, because it expresses the desire to break out of the place you grew up in, which is something that everyone feels at some point in their lives. And again, these two songs really are not centered around her ability to get a man, but rather what happens as you grow up. So if you haven't had the opportunity to check out Taylor Swift's Midnights, it is streaming now on Spotify, Apple Music, anywhere where you might listen to your music. Or you can buy the CD on her store. She also, with this release, has 6 different versions of vinyl that are really amazing. So if you're a vinyl collector, I would check out her website. And it is all while supplies last.